drunk, is imperfect. He is sweaty. His face is blank, a little dull in the head. His intentions are far from honorable. It is clear that their partnership will not always be an easy one. But he will return. And if he does, we must have faith that he will lead us to a land of wonder. Everything eventually comes to an end. But this is not the end of their struggles. It is just the beginning. His vision shifts from the past to the present, and then to the future. A future infinitely greater than anything which has come before. The first and the last. The beginning and the end.
Wheelbarrow full of dicks. Weathered conversation will make your mother sick. One couch and alcohol with three fat guys. We say mean and crazy things, and one of us is high. Wheelbarrow full of dicks. Wheelbarrow full of dicks, where the penis jokes come fast and thick. We've been getting away with this for far too long. Join us Monday nights on
strangelabel.com.
Confident, maybe. When I hear, sure, that says to me, no.
That sounds like me every time you invite me to go somewhere. Like, yeah, I'll be there.
All right, yeah. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host Napier.
Sup?
Via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Of course.
And here for his swan song. Before the music started, Napier. Drunkard STL on the Twitters.
Hey, look at me.
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND. We do have one hell of a program for you this evening. We're going to be joined here in a little bit by Mr. Ted Balaker, the director of a new documentary movie film called Can We Take a Joke?
I bet the answer's no.
Yeah, I think that should be... like the subtitle, it should be "Can we take a joke?" and then in parentheses, spoiler alert, no. We're going to be talking to him in a little bit. He's out getting some buzz for the eventual release of that film. I watched the little thing about it, and I've been paying attention to it. Looks interesting. It's got a good cast. Got a whole thing. Drunk has stories to tell about his trip. To Colorado for the weed festival. What was the official name of that thing?
The official one got canceled, so it was kind of a...
What do you mean it got canceled? You mean, like, when you were on your way there? Did you get, like, an email that said, hey, by the way, this is canceled?
No, I read something about it the week before I left.
That it was canceled?
Yeah.
What do you mean it was canceled, Drunk?
Well, the day I went there...
Was this just like a little thing? I thought this was like a big event.
Yeah. Well, the Cannabis Cup from High Times got canceled a couple months ago. And then they had a different event.
What was this event?
Also got canceled. So there was just kind of a...
Drunk, let me ask you a real quick question. Did these events get canceled, or did they forget they planned them in the first place?
Well,
that's a fair question.
Well, I did read that one of the events got rescheduled to the weekend after because silly stoners are always late.
See, no, so. But when I hear, hey, I've flown to Colorado for a big event and Cypress Hill is going to be there, it seems like this is like a big thing.
Well, the Cypress Hill concert still happened, but I didn't go to it.
Drunk.
So did you not take the bus and all the shit that you planned on doing?
You went to Colorado. What exactly did you do there?
Yeah, really high. Did a lot of walking.
Did you go do walking at events, or did you just wander around aimlessly in the state of Colorado?
I walked to events, yeah.
Did you go to a Lich's theme park?
No, but I did go to the Denver Aquarium. That was fun.
Was that part of the trip, or is that what you did because what you went there to do got canceled?
Yeah, we didn't have anything to do that particular day, so we went and got high and looked at some fishies and a tiger.
How'd it go?
It was very
fun. Why was there a tiger at the aquarium?
I don't know. They got three tigers at the aquarium. It's silly.
So it's an aquarium. You're not expecting to see tigers,
correct?
Right?
I had no clue they had tigers, but they have three of them.
Like, are
they?
I assume they're walking out. They're like, "Oh shit, there's tigers here!"
Yes, basically that is what happens.
I don't think they really have tigers at the aquarium. I think this is a goof, or it was like the zoo, and he just saw fishes and thought he was.
I got pictures.
They only went to the one portion of the zoo, and as they were leaving, walked by the tiger exhibit of the zoo. Didn't realize that there was an entirely different section with all sorts of other animals there.
How many times did the staff there have to calm down like a really stoned out dude? He's like, "I was just at the aquarium. How'd I get to the zoo? I don't remember the trip."
Drunk went to Colorado to be at the Weed Festival and to see Cypress Hill. See Cypress Hill,
okay,
and the Weed
thing.
Festival was canceled.
But I went to a different, like, Weed Festival, kind of. An impromptu thing, if you will.
Was it all the people who flew out there to go to the Weed Festival that was canceled?
I guess.
They all congregated in a separate thing? Did they all just, like, get together in a parking lot and say dude to each other?
It wasn't a parking lot. It was more of a park. It was called the Civic Center. The Denver Civic Center.
And you all just congregated there and told stories about
there was a lot of,
the fun times you were on weed.
I don't want to necessarily call them protesters.
What were they protesting?
Weed is legal in
Colorado.
With microphones. It was basically telling people that they need to go to their home state and vote.
Oh, they were activists.
Yeah,
oh.
There we go. Activists. There we are.
Little rabble rousers. Trying to get on their soapbox.
You didn't really bring back any noteworthy content, did
I can't,
you?
I will say this. There's a lot of dispensaries there. I couldn't believe the amount of places you could just... It was readily available.
So it was kind of like a weed festival in that you could just go buy weed.
And there is fucking homeless people everywhere there.
How many Lebowski looks alike?
Everywhere. Kind of, yeah. You know, they got like the hemp, like... jackets and whatnot. And,
the hemp jackets.
You know, like the Jamaican hats all over the place.
Lots of Jamaican hats.
Yeah. Bob Marley, I'm sure.
Fucking, if you do go, watch out for the edibles. Those are what will get you.
Napier is checking the hockey score periodically and raising his fist. And I'm supposed to know what that
means. I think that means 2-0.
The Blues Game 7 is on, guys. So we're doing a show... But we're only kind of doing a show.
I'm cautiously optimistic about how long it'll take for us to
die. Don't say words like optimistic.
Yeah, that's not really allowed.
Don't do it.
But yeah, I went to a lot of places to eat. Like, you know the show Triple D's?
Yeah, that's a great show.
I did pretty much all the Denver ones there.
Nice.
The diners, the drive-ins, and the dives?
Yeah, I got this Indian taco that was to die for.
What's in an Indian taco? Corn?
It's like what they call a fry bread, which is fantastic. It's made out of like honey and whatnot. And then they got some super marinated chicken and some black beans and some cheese and some lettuce and tomatoes and some suffering.
That's tasty.
It tastes like the best chalupa you'll ever eat in your life.
Did it have a bunch of cheese going on? See, that's a big thing for me with the tacos. Is
it had shredded cheese on it.
I'd go so far as to say that I'm a cheese guy, Napes.
Excellent.
What's your favorite cheese, Mike?
I really have not met a cheese I didn't like.
Yeah.
Drunk, were there any titties at the convention?
Didn't see any titties.
Were there attractive females there?
I mean, my lady, she's attractive.
Good okay. One, drunk. Good one.
Okay, let's expand from there. Okay, so we got the one, and there were...
No, yeah, there's plenty of good-looking chicks in Denver, for sure. Most of them are high out their mind, but there's plenty of them.
Well, that would be the place to do it.
It's the whole state's high. I mean, literally. Like, the fucking guy on the shuttle bus, he was fucking doing dabs while he was fucking driving us around.
See, Travis, what I'd say is that that drunk made lemons into lemonade here. Because he went on vacation to do a thing, and the thing that he planned his vacation around was canceled. But he made do.
And also, he didn't go to the other thing that he was planning on doing. But that's totally like a stoner to me.
Yeah, like, oh, I just decided the price for the cab out there was just going to be too much.
The price for the cab to go see Cypress Hill?
Yeah, because Red Rocks isn't necessarily close to Denver.
You'd think they'd have a shuttle. No shuttles?
I mean, I stayed at a fucking Quality Inn, so...
Oh, no. Man, this sounds like the fucking worst trip ever. You stayed at a Quality Inn as well?
Yeah.
Well, how high were you?
The bed was terrible. How high? Oh, yeah. My God, I was high the whole trip.
Elevation.
Then it doesn't really matter, does it?
The bed fucking sucked balls, that's for sure.
So, no real story there.
I'm a little disappointed, but it's a very drunk story, you know?
Like, when we got there, the people that picked us up, our flight was delayed because of snow. And then when we got into town, I only had about 15 minutes to actually get to the dispensary. So, like, that was kind of a wild ride there, trying to actually go get my pot for the first night.
This absolutely is a drunk thing where he builds it up. He's like, I'm going on these weed tours. There's a big, like, a hullabaloo. And it's
kick off
with a Cypress Hill concert. And then come to find out, this is a drunk's shitty trip to Denver.
We were supposed
to, at a couple of places that were on
TV. We were also supposed to take a class on how to learn how to make edibles, but we...
Was that part of the festival?
We slept through it. No, it was something that we booked on our own.
We were going to go to the Cypress Hill concert.
What you slept through it like you didn't wake up in time to go to it, or you went to it and fell asleep?
No, it was supposed to be in the afternoon. We woke up. We went downtown. We got really high. We came back to the hotel for a nap. And then we forgot to wake up to go to the edible class.
It's just what I'm hearing is just a lot of like, we were going to do this thing. Like, nah.
They should write a song like that, Travis. There's this guy who's going to do a bunch of things, but then he got high and didn't do it.
And he didn't do it because he got high.
Yeah, that's a good song idea.
We should put that together for next week.
Yeah.
So drunk, are you going to take any more stereotype vacations?
I was going to go to the edibles class, but then I got high.
I don't know. We're thinking maybe South Dakota next. Go see Mount Rushmore.
Cypress Hill.
Is the edible class...
They didn't have a shuttle to Red Rocks, and I was high.
Is the edibles class just basically telling you how to mix brownie mix and then add pot to it?
Is
there really a science behind it, or don't you just kind of throw some pot in there?
No, there's a little bit more of a science to it than that.
I would think that, just like, instead of like the paprika you'd normally add, make it weed.
Instead of oregano, add weed.
Maybe some oregano also.
Well, you don't want to clash your flavors like that.
I don't see what Mount Rushmore has to do with anything.
Because I
guess all of your vacations don't necessarily have to be marijuana related.
Right.
You could have vacations that are about other things.
Sure.
Like seeing a bunch of guys' heads carved in rocks.
Doesn't that sound like fun?
Yeah, I went and saw it. It was kind of neat. I was like, yep, those guys, somebody carved their heads in a rock.
Yeah.
I noticed they didn't clean up any of their leavings. Like at the bottom, there's all those rocks that they cut out of the mountain and they just kind of left them there.
Well, I mean, what are they going to do with them?
I don't know. Make it look nice.
Move them somewhere else?
Yeah, move them somewhere. Make it look nice.
Where are they going to move them?
I don't know. It looks like somebody's like art project that they just half finished and then said, fuck it.
It's like you were whittling wood and you just left the wood down on the ground.
Yeah, just left it right fucking there.
That's part of the whole thing, guys.
But yeah, I would go to like Washington or California, but I don't have a medical card, so I feel like that'd be difficult.
All right.
The fuck was that?
That was a text tone.
Oh, you're...
I'm gonna put my phone on silent now.
Drunk. This is like a real show.
Yeah.
We can't have text tones going off during the show, Drunk.
Yes, sir.
I'm not mad, though.
Thank you. I mean, it is going to be 20-something episodes till I come back, so.
22, you said.
Yeah, 22.
I only prepared for 22.
Yep. You prepared?
I said 20-something. I couldn't remember the number.
Well, there's a big difference between 22 and 27, Drunk. Five more episodes is another, like, month and a half.
No, it's just 22.
It's 22.
The first week of September. That's when I'll be back.
The countdown begins.
Rain pussy.
I'll still be here in spirit, though.
Hopefully, in those 22 weeks, Napier, Drunk has accumulated enough life experiences to fill a 15-minute break. Because, boy, were we depending on some great Colorado stories, and we did not get them.
Did we at least get 15 minutes out of them?
Yeah, I guess.
Do we still have our drunk animal facts?
I could see the mountains.
Yeah, I have 22 weeks worth of drunk animal facts.
Tits!
What are we going to do if we run out of them?
I guess just replay them because nobody listens.
Guys, did I even mention that the phone number to contact show is 636-487-HAND and that we're on strangelabel.com and it's the wheelbarrow full of dicks and all that? Did I do all that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. This guy, Travis, he's got a movie film that he's putting out. Mm-hmm. He's got a whole bunch of comedians in it. It's got the Gilbert Godfrey and Lisa Lampanelli and Penn Jillette. Jim Norton.
I thought you said it's going to have comedians.
Oh. Those are all comedians, aren't they?
Lisa Lampanelli definitely is.
And Gilbert Godfrey, he's a comedian.
And so is Penn Jillette.
He's a comedian. Jim Norton.
Penn Jillette.
Are you making a commentary about that you don't find those people humorous, Drunk?
Yes.
Drunk, what are the comedians that you find funny?
Dave Chappelle, Jim Brewer.
Stoners.
Is there any comedians that you would say that Mitch you're Hedberg. A fan of that that's act isn't centered around like their marijuana usage?
Oh, I know David Cross.
I liked George Carlin when he was alive.
Don't like him now that he's dead, though.
Well, I mean, he's dead.
Yeah, he never seems to update his material.
Would you go see the George Carlin hologram?
That Maybe. Seems wrong, right?
It's a possibility I would see that.
With your knowledge of what a George Carlin act would sound like you have countless hours of George Carlin material to kind of feel like you kind of know him a bit and like how he stands on thing. Do you think like a team of people could write like an original hour of George Carlin material without George Carlin?
I guarantee you if George Carlin was still alive, there would be none of this millennial bullshit. He was a man that kept us honest.
Well, I mean, I don't think that he would do away with it, but he'd probably talk about it, I would think.
I think he would shame them into irrelevancy.
That's kind of their game, though, is to shame you and like make you feel bad.
Yeah, but at the same time, they need a little bit themselves. Take them down a peg.
Travis, what do you think, man? Are we having issues?
Yes, we are having issues.
What kind of issues are we having?
The kind where you don't get the guest that you're trying to add on.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yay, Skype!
Is he trying to call, or are you trying to call? What's going on?
Tried one time, couldn't get him added. Trying to get him added.
Is he online?
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, not very confidence inspiring.
So we were trying to be eloquent and just kind of
I told
phase
you,
into it.
Because we even talked about making it like work seamlessly.
Trying to do it seamlessly.
Shit show.
And it just didn't happen. It just sucked.
I'm so
Mike, the technology isn't there to add one phone call to another phone call. It's impossible.
It was just supposed to kind of happen naturally, where, like, he was just there. You know?
Yep.
And that already didn't happen.
No options. to add to the current call. I'm very frustrated.
Let's go on break. We're going to collect ourselves.
No, we're not going to go on break.
No? So we could get our new friend?
I'm determined.
But you're not doing anything.
What would you like me to do?
Message him?
Well, maybe we could, yeah, I got nothing.
Good job, Drunk.
I gotta go. I'll see you guys next week.
Hey, Mikey, go to the bathroom.
While the WFOD guys are off making Stinky, we'd like to take this opportunity to entice you with an exclusive offer. Are you currently experiencing dissatisfaction with your defecation because you're wasting your time reading Facebook updates about your cousin's latest breakup? Did OP fail to deliver again? Are you experiencing gastrointestinal discontent because these precious porcelain moments are wasting your phone's battery life? Have you recently consumed Americanized Mexican food delivered to you via drive-thru window? We at Rocktown Press feel your pains and have personally handcrafted a solution for your water closet woes that can be discreetly delivered to your front door. New in 2015, Rocktown Press unveils the Taco Bell Survival Pack.
Oh, Taco Bell, Taco Bell, product placement with Taco Bell.
For a mere $39.99 at rocktownpress.bigcartel.com, you get not one, not two, but three pieces of quality bathroom reading material, enough matches to cover the stink of 1,000 shits, and an emergency roll of toilet paper.
Say, what kind of toilet paper you got back there?
Two-ply, my friend, and only the best. But don't jump off the John just yet. Our managers have approved a very special offer for Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks listeners. Enter the promo code WFOD at checkout and receive 20% off your order at rocktownpress.bigcartel.com. It's not only good on the Taco Bell Survival Pack, but everything's site-wide. So head on over to rocktownpress.bigcartel.com, use the promo code WFOD, save some money, and make your next bathroom break complete with tales of underage drinking, suicide, prescription drug abuse, summer camp, journalism, celebrities, and more suicide.
I'm Charlie! Light a match!
It's time for Drunk's Amazing Animal Fact. Here's your host, Drunk!
Squirrels can't see the color red.
You have reached the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program voicemail box. At the tone, please leave a message.
Hey yo, DJ KD in the house. I've been hearing all this bullshit from Rice O'Rani and the Glove saying they the real dinner treat. No, man. Fuck KD. KD is the real dinner treat, yo. KD is the bomb. Y'all act like you never tasted white cheddar before. Jaws on the floor, like Glove and Rice O'Rani just busting the door and started mixing his hamburger worse than before. Then first they were microwave, throwing it in a bowl, but it's the recurrent of KD. Oh, wait, no, you know, I'm not kidding. No, man, no. And that Rice O'Rani, what did he say? He said nothing, man. Rice O'Rani is dead. I got him tied up in my basement. Everybody loves the KD, man. Everybody loves the taste of white cheddar, yo. Everybody loves to feel that white cheddar all over their face, going down their throat, going in their stomach, make them feel good. Mmm, yeah, you know it. You know, man. Fuck, you know this shit. Why am I even telling you this shit? Everybody knows KD is the bomb, man. KD, peace out.
I want someone to be sad, and I want to know that I'm responsible!
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Fuck off, this is Strangelabel.com.
Fuck off, this is Strangelabel.com, who?
New Jersey Turnpike, riding on a wet night, under a refinery load, out with great black rivers flow. License registration, I ain't got none, but I got a clear conscience about the things that I done. Mr. State Trooper, please don't stop me. Please don't stop me. Please don't stop me. Maybe you got a kid, maybe you got a pretty wife. Yeah, the only thing that I've got's been bothering me my whole life. Mr. State Trooper, please don't stop me. Please don't stop me. Please don't stop me.
Back. We are joined on the line by Ted Balaker, the director of the film Can We Take a Joke? Check that out at canwetakeajoke.com, at canwetakeajoke on Twitter. You're out doing college campuses and creating a buzz. That's what's going on?
We are currently creating buzz. They're attempting to do just that. And we've been on about 300 college campuses, so it's actually more than we expected.
Do you have an official release date yet, or are you just kind of out getting it out there a bit, and that's going to be determined?
Yeah,
later?
this was a special sneak peek week for college kids, since they're often the ones getting censored these days. So we figured we'd cut them a break. We don't have an official date, but it's most likely going to be at the end of July. We're timing it with the 50th anniversary of the death of Lenny Bruce, who's a big deal in our movie. He's kind of the hero of the film. He shows through his example, we show how things have gotten better and worse since Lenny's time in the 60s. And that anniversary is August 3rd. And so we're aiming for probably it's going to be a late July release, first a limited release in theaters, than a wider digital release.
So you're taking it to colleges. That's kind of like the opposing view of the film from, I guess I haven't seen it, but are you getting a good response for it or well, we were joking earlier that the subtitle of the movie should be, Can We Take a Joke? And then in parentheses, spoiler alert, no, we can't.
Well, yeah, that spoiler alert, did ring true at several college campuses, including my alma mater, where someone mysteriously pulled a fire alarm, at UC Irvine, during the screening. And that was, after threats of protest, after it was announced that the film would be screened there.
That's some rock and roll shit there. If you get an alarm pulled on you, you know you're doing something right.
Yeah, I guess so. And so this is phase one of the campus events, and we're going to return to college campuses in the fall with bigger screenings and a lot more hoopla. This was kind of like a soft launch. But by and large, we were very, very pleased with how it was received. In fact, we have all sorts of heartwarming stories about college kids with different points of view talking calmly about politics. I mean, who would have thought that was possible these days?
So you worked for 2020. I mean, you're kind of a documentary guy. Are you filling a gap? Like, I'm curious about, like, is comedy a passion of yours? Or are you just like, oh, this is something that would probably make a good documentary?
Definitely both. I am very passionate about stand-up comedy. In fact, my wife and I were just watching a Patrice O'Neill, fan-made documentary last night. And my brother is a stand-up comic. And we consume a lot of stand-up comedy. We used to do, a free show here in Los Angeles on the Sunset Strip. My brother would host and I would do music, which would basically mean I was the unpaid brother of the host who brought his iPod Nano to, you know, do intro and outro music to the comics. And so, yeah, I love stand-up comedy, and I also, you know, love free speech and the idea of free expression. And, so this was a good way to kind of merge those two loves. And it's frankly, it's strange and wonderful how timely it's all become. We've been thinking about this for years, and the more we've been working on it, the more it seems like every day there's some explosion of outrage.
It does seem to be very timely. Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned Lenny Bruce right off the top, and obviously the late great George Carlin, you know, kind of followed in the same vein when he found his footing. Do you feel that there's any singular voices in comedy that are kind of doing those same things? I mean, I know you have like your Doug Stanhopes, who, you know, he can be shocking upon first listen, but really, if you actually kind of dive deep into what he's saying, it kind of is along the same vein. Do you think that there's anybody out there that's kind of broadening like the message, you know, not to take ourselves so seriously, but also kind of be introspective?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think a lot of, Penn Jillette is one of the guys we interview in the film, and he's a very, very much a big fan of Lenny Bruce and quite a student of his as well. And he says that, what you see in a lot of stand-up comedians today is that you would watch them and then watch Lenny, and Lenny wouldn't seem terribly groundbreaking. And Penn says it's because everybody is doing what Lenny started. So the whole world shifted to do what Lenny was doing. And so you see a lot of Lenny, you know, I mentioned Patrice O'Neill, he was one, you know, he was gone. He died well before he should have. He definitely, was introspective in that way and definitely pushed boundaries. Another guy who I think was brilliant and also died before his time was Greg Giraldo, Louis C.K. A lot of these guys, they really do trace their lineage back to Lenny Bruce. And then of course, you know, also Richard Pryor and George Carlin. So a lot of the personalized approach to storytelling, that, you know, you trace that back to Lenny, and you look at what was considered comedy before Lenny, and it was a lot of boom jokes, you know, take my wife, please, and that kind of thing.
But you have to wonder with Lenny Bruce, like the big thing about Lenny Bruce and the talking point about him is how he was received. And I mean, it's kind of like, you know, He-Man needs Skeletor and the X-Men need Magneto. And like, do comedians give these detractors their power by acknowledging them? I mean, like, is this movie making them matter? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, comedians are always reacting against something. And so I, you know, without the darkness, there's no light and that sort of thing.
We're never going to see a movie about people who really think Penn Jillette's funny and makes a lot of sense, because what's the movie there? It's like, well, guys, I guess we're all really big Penn Jillette fans. Let's make a movie about our love of Penn Jillette.
Right. There's like the Bill Hicks documentary. There are biopics about comedians that pop up here and there. But even if you look at someone like Bill Hicks, he too was, you know, fighting against something. He was, he was a guy who grew up in Houston, very edgy comic, never really embraced in the U.S., but strangely embraced, by the Brits. And so there, you know, I think in order to be a great comic, you know, you see a lot of tragedy in their lives or there's some sort of struggle. That's kind of like with any interesting story. You don't just want a story where everything works out swimmingly, because that's not terribly interesting. And so you see a lot of the great comedians were really, you know, had some pretty serious demons or are a little bit out of step with society. And they're reacting against that. And that's part of what frustrates them, but it's also what pushes them, to, you know, push boundaries. George Carlin said, the duty of a comedian is to find out where the line is drawn and deliberately cross over it. That's what a lot of these guys do.
I would imagine, though, like looking at the other side of the equation is like when you look at a fan base, when these people are looking to these comedians to kind of break up the doldrum and, you know, just provide the comedy. But also when they do take it that step far, we live in a society now when we can shut, I mean, take Gilbert Gottfried, I guess, for an example. You know, people love Gilbert Gottfried, and then he makes one poorly timed tsunami joke, and he's no longer the Affleck duck.
The duck, yeah. Right. That's a point we make in the film, is that people, it's not like, when we refer to it as the outrage mob, or maybe outrage culture. So people have always been outraged by something or another. So that's not new. What is new is the tools that we have, the technology that we have. They're really this double-edged sword, because on the one hand, social media and Twitter and YouTube are wonderful for comedians, because they let them reach out to new fans that they've never would have been in contact with before. But on the other hand, it really does foment this outrage culture, where somebody can take a, you know, go to a club and videotape on a smartphone a little clip from a set that's taken totally out of context, and then he uploads it to his YouTube page, and, you know, outrage blasts across the land, and people are taking this joke out of context, or, you know, even just the act of taking it out of the comedy club. It's the venue is so, for fans of comedy, you know, that the joke told within the confines of maybe a small comedy club is a very different thing than if you were to bring it, you know, at your Thanksgiving table in front of your whole family, or just any other venue. The venue matters just a whole lot. And so what we're seeing a lot now is that the comedians are really trying to figure out how to deal with this new wave of technology, which is on the one hand wonderful, and on the other hand allows for some pretty awful things.
And I would imagine that people who are still trying to work out things, they have to do that in front of people. Because, I mean, we don't have, Guitar Hero where you can practice at home. You kind of have to go out there and see how your stuff goes over. And if everybody's got, you know, they did a Saturday Night Live Prince special, and they were talking about this magical moment when at the 40th anniversary after party, Prince came up on stage, and like everybody was just in awe that Prince was coming up there, and he just picked a random guitar up and just started playing it. And they had footage of this, and you look out over this sea of people who are seeing something amazing. I mean, like, they're seeing something, the once-in-a-lifetime thing. I mean, like, you know, Jimmy Fallon and Paul McCartney are up on stage with Prince jamming, and everybody has their damn phones out.
Right.
That's
a bugaboo of mine, too. I used to live in New York and would watch the tourists go through Central Park on the horse carriage, and dear old dad would have the video camera out, you know, videotaping everything, because, gee, it's going to be really great once we get home in front of the television, and then we can watch the video of, you know, what we should have been experiencing firsthand.
And you also have to wonder if social media is bringing, are these people like multiplying? Are they seeing one person be outraged and say, I should also be outraged about that? Or just does everybody have a voice now and all of these people have been out there all along?
Yeah, so it's an interesting question. Gilbert Gottfried, who is one of the comedians we interview, and really has, he's really outstanding in the film. He says, you know, when you're outraged at something, you're also patting yourself on the back and saying,
right,
well, look at me. I'm outraged. I'm a good person. And so I think it's, I've heard the phrase public piety used, and
virtue
I think that's
signaling.
Pretty apt, because I think a lot of people are, it's a very easy way to kind of show that you're a good person or pretend you're a good person. If you're outraged by the right things, then others will, you know, look well upon you.
It's like changing your Facebook picture to the French flag.
Exactly. It's no skin off your nose. You
right.
don't really have to do anything.
Yeah, guys, obviously I give a shit. I changed my profile picture to the French flag, guys.
Yeah, look at me. Gilbert says that he misses the old time lynch mobs, because back then, at least you had to, you know, put on a coat, go outside, deal with other people. But now you're just sitting at home, and you can register your outrage, you know, across the universe, just by, you know, typing on Twitter or Facebook or whatever.
So can we take a joke? It should be out sometime in July, you said, we will be sure to let people know when it is actually available. If you happen to see it playing in a film festival or something you're at, go check it out. Go, say hi to Ted. You got Gilbert Godfrey, Lisa Lampanelli, Penn Jillette, Jim Norton, Adam Carolla. Did I miss anybody?
Kara Foster, Heather McDonald. You mentioned Jim Norton, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bunch of other, non-comedians who are, very interesting, and some student comedians as well who are great.
Do you have opposing points of view in this movie? Do you have the other side?
Yes, we have, some opposing points of view and some quite loud.
Do you pause and do the Penn and Teller bullshit thing where you say, look at this asshole? Nothing like that.
No, I think that's trademark. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, Ted. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to seeing the movie.
Sure thing, guys. Thanks for taking the listen. Yeah. And for spreading the word. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, man.
Thanks, Ted.
You too. Bye.
Napier. That's a topic that we can enjoy. We can
I think
interested
so.
In.
Oh, I'm definitely watching it.
It sounds fun. I mean, Drunk isn't particularly impressed with the level of comedians that they have on the list.
I was just being silly.
But I don't think they're doing their stand-up sets. I think it's, you know, they're talking about their craft.
You know, all those pictures from Lenny Bruce and all the other old-time comedians, when there was a protest, it was a bunch of fucking 40-year-old housewives angry over nothing. And now it's changed. They're like fucking 20-year-olds. Why are 20-year-olds upset at a comedian? When the fuck did that change?
Well, the thing about it is, too, is everybody is taking something that's completely irrelevant so they can jump on the bandwagon and try to seem like they're a part of the outrage police. I saw a tweet today from an independent comic creator that, are you aware of Will Eisner, the creator of, like, The Spirit? And what, you know, they had one of the biggest awards in comic books is called the Eisner Awards, so he's kind of a big deal. Well, this independent comic creator, I think, to appeal to his crunchy, hippie, hipster millennial types, tweeted something out along the lines of, Will Eisner's legendary status just goes to show you what being a white man will propel you into for, you know, in your career. And right. People lost their minds, and he immediately took the tweet down. But I think it's just people trying to fit into that, like, hey, look, everybody, I'm also outraged, too. Let me find something that I can bring to you to show you how outraged I am.
It's virtue signaling. It's people saying, oh, look at me and how great I am. I accept this person for this reason, or I hate this one group of people for the right reasons.
Travis.
Yes.
I like that guy.
I like that guy too. And I like the project. I actually can't wait to see this movie.
So I wanted to talk about, this fella that, broke my heart on Twitter the other day.
Why are fellas breaking your heart?
Did you tell him to F off?
This guy was having a contest. When he got to 5,000 Twitter followers, he was going to give away 2 tickets to a bull riding rodeo in Houston, Texas.
Sweet.
To his 5,000th follower. And so I saw this. Somebody retweeted it. And I said, oh, my God. He has 4,999 followers. I could be the 5,000th follower. So I followed him. Yeah. I was the winner. I won the contest. I was totally going to go to the Houston Bull Riding Rodeo. It was at Buckles and Bulls on Twitter. And do you know how he responded to me winning the 5,000th tweeter competition?
Was it positive?
Let me guess, JK.
He blocked me and awarded it to the next person who followed him.
which account did you follow him on?
At WFO Dix.
Oh. Not your personal?
He blocked me, Travis. So he did not, he was not ethical in so his,
he,
in his
contest
yeah. thing.
The contest was rigged against you.
Right. And I was
exactly
fucking
like
heartbroken. I mean, like, finally, I had an opportunity to win. I was going to be the damn winner, and this guy just blocked me.
He probably already had a winner in mind.
And I had people that were sticking up for me, But he just ignored all of them. He just went about his day like I was nothing, like I was dog shit.
Well, that's social media. You just ignore people, and eventually they stop giving a shit.
Napier, what did you want to be when you grew up? Like when you were a kid, what did you want to be? What was your dream job?
I don't think I ever had a dream job. I dreamed of doing nothing. I thought that would be fun.
Just get paid to not do anything?
Yeah, I thought that'd be awesome.
Mine was silly.
What did you want to be, Drunk?
When I was growing up, I wanted to be the driver of the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think he likes his life.
There's only one, isn't there? Isn't there one Oscar Mayer Wienermobile?
I think so, yeah.
So I imagine...
How awesome would it be to be that guy that gets to drive that motherfucker cross-country?
Do you think it's a team of people? Or do you think it's like one guy who is anointed the Oscar Mayer guy?
I don't know, but that's what I wanted to be when
and
I
they just
growing.
Walk around with a sack full of wiener whistles?
Yep.
Spreading the good word about Oscar Mayer?
I mean, they don't deliver Oscar Mayer wieners in the Wienermobile. It just kind of drives around, right?
It just drives around, yep.
And like if you see it, you say, oh shit, there it is.
Yep, pretty much. It's
do you have to have a special license to drive that?
I would assume you'd have to have like some sort of like chauffeur's license.
Well, I mean, you don't have to. You're not chauffeuring anybody.
Maybe a commercial driver's license.
You don't have to have a special driver's license to drive like a U-Haul truck.
That's true.
You probably should.
But I guess if you're driving like as a professional, you don't have to have a special license to drive pizzas.
Nope.
Dude, I bet Travis had like a really, really elaborate. Detailed goal. Travis wanted to be something very specific.
I actually, it started out pretty broad. I wanted to be a actor, and that kind of devolved into being a filmmaker. And then I just wanted
what
to
kind
be
of film?
Just a filmmaker. I just wanted to make movies. I love movies.
And then he wanted to be a dairy farmer.
Did you want to make horror movies?
I wanted to make all kinds of movies. I wanted to be, you know, like...
Did you make movies?
Yeah.
Like when you were
yeah.
a kid?
Yeah, off and on. When I was a kid, I know through high school, we made a couple of them. I think I told you that we made a Drag Queens in Space motion picture.
Were you dressed up as a drag queen?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sugar and Spice was the drag
queen. They were a team?
Team. Yep, it was they drove around a space shoe. It was called Queens in Space, the sequel. That's so we got all the silly exposition out of the way, and it just got into the action of somebody trying to steal the magic purse, who was also an evil drag queen. I was very influenced by Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
But in space.
But also in space, yes.
How did you do the space thing?
A dark room and black construction paper with holes poked in it and light coming through those holes.
Oh, that was the stars?
That was the stars.
So were you just like floating?
The space shoe was. But otherwise it was just in like, you know, industrial classroom settings and it was like the inside of our space shoe.
Oh, so you were like looking out a window into space?
We never really looked out
in a spaceship?
Space shoe.
Were there any space hookers?
Our spaceship was in the shape of a high-heeled shoe.
Travis's movie doesn't make sense to me.
No, not.
So Sugar and Spice are in possession of the magical purse. They drive around a spaceship.
What's in the what does a magical purse do?
We don't ever.
Oh, it's like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
Exactly.
You don't really know.
Yep, and it's just we know it's a hot button item because
people are trying to get it.
Beulah, the evil drag queen, tries to take it from us. And actually succeeds at one point, and then we get it back.
So did you write something, or were you just making it up as you went along?
We kind of wrote scenes as we went along. We kind of had a basic idea of what we wanted to do. It's not good. it's not good at all.
We made a movie one time where we had these two chickens that killed me, and my friend was going to avenge my death from the chickens. But that was really like where it ended, and he never avenged my death.
So it didn't show him at the end like eating chicken nuggets or anything?
Yeah, all we really had to film was like him eating chicken nuggets, and that would have been the end, I guess. But we just never really did it.
Maybe some barbecue.
That sounds
chicken.
Like all of the screenplays and novels that I've ever started, where it's almost there and then just never gets finished.
Yeah,
we did film Detective Napier.
We used to try to make Detective Napier movies, but really we just made bomb-ass trailers for the Detective Napier movies.
There's something to be said for just making trailers.
Yeah, we were just trailer guys.
People have very promising careers based off of the fact that they just made a trailer for a movie.
That's your hook. If you can't do the hook right, how are you going to make a movie?
I read this.
Hobo with a Shotgun came out of the guy that just made a trailer.
I read this story about a tiger that was just walking around in a neighborhood in Houston.
Was it a mutant tiger?
No, it was like a fucking tiger. This is a real story.
Did everybody tell him to go back where he
Like
came
a guy
from?
Was just driving home from work, and across the road walks a goddamn tiger. And so he calls the police, and the police like try to wrangle up the tiger, but at the same time they're trying to figure out where the fuck this tiger came from.
And I could see how you'd be confused.
See, I would think, Travis, and this might just be me being a cautious fella. But like if I have a tiger, like, and my tiger goes missing and I can't find my tiger, like, I would probably alert the authorities pretty early on. Hey, man, there's a tiger on the loose and it belongs to me.
Well, that's probably why the police were confused as to why they didn't know there was a tiger out and about.
Yeah, I'd be like, I feel like we should have known this tiger was out.
Yeah, it's not like a bear. Like, randomly in my small town in the industrial areas, they'll find, like, a bear or, like, a bear cub. And it'll just be, like, walking down the street, and they'll have to trank it and put it back where it belongs.
Yeah.
That's a wild animal.
And so, I mean, I would say this tiger owner, he's irresponsible.
What if he just...
Not only because he let his tiger out. I mean, that's one thing. Tigers, they're crafty. They might get out. Okay. But you gotta take precautions once that day comes. You know, who you're gonna call to let know if we got a tiger on the loose.
Well, what if he just had so many it's hard to keep track of all of them?
Yeah, I didn't read anywhere in the story if, like, that was one of multiple tigers or if that was, like, his only tiger.
Well, tigers are pretty crafty. I mean, they are capable of forming elaborate plans to lure young boys back into the jungle so they can eat them.
Right.
Is that a thing? Kind of hope not.
Jungle Book.
So, last week we did the Hollywood Fantasy Draft, and,
did we win?
Well, no, we just drafted.
Oh. How did we draft this time?
Did we win the last one?
We did win the last one, Drunk.
I finally saw the trailer for that, Steven Spielberg, the BFG. Looks great.
Yeah, it looks expensive.
It looks real expensive.
Looks like they're going to spend a lot of money marketing it. Let's hope.
What's the movie about?
It's Giants. What does BFG stand for? Big fucking Giants?
That's what I thought, too. Big fucking Giants is the first thing that popped into my head.
Big fucking guy?
I thought it was...
Look at this big fucking guy.
Just grab this little orphan girl right out of the orphanage.
He's giant. He's a big fucking guy. No, but we had the Chris Brake show and the Bad Flicks show.
Bad
and
Flicks.
The Passersby podcast. So the Passersby podcast guy was on our show representing the Passersby podcast on Monday.
Yeah.
And on Wednesday I wake up and the Passersby podcast guy has quit podcasting. he put out a press release.
The next day?
On Wednesday.
It might as well have been the next day. He unfollowed everybody on Twitter and said, goodbye.
And said, guys, I can't do podcasting anymore. I'm done. So he quit podcasting.
He was on our show. I interacted with him three times on Twitter the next day.
He
stopped podcasting.
Do you think it's because he saw somebody who's like been doing this for... What was it, 6 years?
Yep.
He said, God, these bitter pricks, they haven't gotten anywhere.
Why are they still doing this? Fuck, why am I doing
Why should I? What if I get to be them? Like, what if after I do this for long enough, I just hate everything?
Sounds about right. Well, interacting with people will do that.
I don't want to make it all about me, Travis.
No.
But homie's been doing podcasting for a while.
You gotta wonder.
And he didn't seem like he was, done with it. Seemed like he was making plans.
Yeah, he had a new great episode out that was getting a lot of buzz, and people were like,
the guy shot himself in the face.
Yeah, yeah.
And he spent one half of an hour with us, and he just decided he was done.
Just
done with podcasting forever.
He didn't have to do anything hard. He just had to pick some movies, right?
So the question is, what does that mean for Team Passersby Podcast in the Hollywood Fantasy Draft?
It'll be a shame if they come in first.
Like, will he continue to be in the league, or is he done?
Well, he didn't die. He's still in, right?
Well, does it matter, I guess? The other thing...
Does it matter in the first place?
Travis, the other thing is, that guy retweets every podcast on Earth over and over and over again. Retweets everybody. He's a hashtag Pattern Family guy that retweets all the people who have podcasts. We are a podcast that he was actually on. We were getting the faves, man. We're getting faved out.
Exploding hearts.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a bummer that he quit podcasting. I hope. I mean, like, we have fun. We just kind of have a negative view on things, but that's all going to change.
Yeah, and he's not unique in that aspect, where I notice a lot of people that they follow me, I follow them, and I notice them retweeting a lot of different podcast things, but as soon as I post anything, I get that exploding heart.
Is it because we don't retweet anybody?
I mean, truthfully, none of
this. I retweet some people.
I can't be bothered.
You know what we should do? We should start a new segment where every week, we should call it, WFOD panders to another podcast in hopes that they can befriend them and get those sweet, sweet retweets. And that'll be the name of the segment. And every week I will shout out a podcast and then I will at mention them that I shouted them out, and then they'll have to retweet that, right?
Well, we've gotten a lot of friends from that. Just remember the shout-out episode.
But now we need to do one a week.
One a week. I'm in. If we pick one together and we announce it on the show, I would be happy. Everything that they tweet for the rest of that week, I will retweet.
Yeah, but you got to give it a cutesy fuck name.
So we're gonna take one podcast a week and just retweet the shit out of them all week.
Yep.
And that'll be our thing.
That's a good idea. I like that idea.
See, because... It's just so goddamn, what's a word for getting tired?
Tedious.
Exhausting.
Tedious! Exhausting! Those are good words, guys. It's tedious and it's exhausting to just have this goddamn sea of retweets. It's too much. But if we just retweet one person just throughout the week, then we can make friends.
Can we call it hashtag life is tedious? Let's be friends.
I think we got a sweet, sweet retweet from that, the Ice in the Face. It's the name of their show is Ice in the Face. So be looking for some sweet, sweet retweets this week of Ice in the Face. We're just going to go fucking crazy on some Ice in the Face this week.
Hashtag life is tedious.
Hashtag life is tedious. Hashtag podcast we pander to this week, hashtag peas in a pod.
Can you double check something for me real quick, Mike?
Yeah.
Maybe not real quick, just get back to me sometime. Did this show start up around the same time the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Maybe that would be a good reason. I don't know why. See, I'm going to listen to an episode and I'm going to tell you what Ice in the Face are called. Ice in the Face. I'm going to have to like search their RSS feed for like origin and see if they explain why they are Ice and the Face. Do you think they call themselves Ice and the Face?
Oh, like one guy's Ice and one guy's the Face?
No, that's like a Zoo Crew Morning Hour kind of.
Hey, you're here with Ice, and I got with me the Face.
Hey, it's me, the Face.
Traffic's backed up on I-94. We're going to bring you some great. We got weather.
You got any celebrity gossip over there, Ice?
You know I do. Honk, honk, weak, honk.
I saw that Pamela Anderson was added to the Baywatch cast.
Oh, who wouldn't have thought that that would have happened with those nice melons?
A cameo was imminent, but oh, honk, honk.
She's 72 years old, but those babies are 3 years young.
64 degrees in St. Louis. We're going to break.
Be right back.
Here's the latest from The Weeknd.
Guys.
First off, if we're going to wrap this up, to try to break out of this funk, I want Drunk. What's one thing that made you happy this week?
This is Drunk's farewell episode for 22 weeks.
One thing that made Drunk happy this week and one thing that made him sad.
The one thing that made me sad was HBO ingraining that last image in my head last night. Game of Thrones.
Put that necklace back on, it'll be all
yes,
good.
Yes, put the necklace back on, please.
Yep, and if it happens, if the necklace goes back on, I can completely overlook how it looked without it.
Absolutely. And then something that made me happy was coming back to St. Louis from Denver. Yay.
All right. Napier, do you have a happy and a sad thing for the week?
Well, I was kind of happy when Game 6 of the Blues game ended. I was really depressed when they actually made me think that they wouldn't fuck this up, and then they're fucking it up. They're
it's
fucking
2-2, Napier. There's a chance.
No, it was 2-0. Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay,
I thought.
Wait, the end.
You know,
they were up 3-1.
It's like.
In the series and in the last game, they were up 3-1. They blew it.
It's like accepting that you're going to be executed. Like, you've just accepted it. And then an hour before you're about to be murdered by the state, like...
The governor gives you a call, maybe?
Yeah, the governor's like, hey, I'm going to give you a call, and we're gonna set this whole thing up, and I'm just going to call him and tell him, no, don't murder you. And then you're like, oh, okay, I get to live. And then it's like 59 seconds before they pull that fucking plug. And like, oh, fuck. Wait, this is bad now.
Napier, you know what it's like?
What's it like?
It's like a traffic jam when you're already late.
Oh.
Is it like,
rain
like
on
a
your wedding
no
day.
Smoking sign on your cigarette?
Is it like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife?
It's like meeting the man of your dreams and then meeting his beautiful wife. Mm. It's just like that.
Isn't that ironic? Mike, you got a happy and sad for the week?
I'm both sad that I killed China and happy knowing that I have the power to kill people.
How did you kill China?
Drunk, this weird thing happens where, like, I pull out a random, like,
old wrestling
pop culture reference,
yeah,
of like somebody that exists in the celebrity culture.
Would you call somebody a jabroni or something?
And like a week or two after I mentioned them, they die.
Yeah.
So you're the cause of 2016's death of every fucking celebrity.
I feel like this podcast, like, brings the black cloud to people.
Did you kill Prince, too?
I don't think I killed Prince.
Just China.
Mike, before we end the podcast, I'd like to say a prayer for the Blues and their season, which will probably end really shortly.
Are you not optimistic?
Not after that one.
You're shutting down your happy part. I wanted the happy part.
So deaths come in three, and the two were, like, one-named people, so if you get only have one name...
Well, China, Prince, and does Patton Oswalt's wife count? Patton Oswalt's wife counts.
No, not really.
So if I were to have one name,
2016 kind of sucks.
Should I be scared, like Cher or Pele or something?
Or Drunk?
We're drunk. Ouch.
Goodbye for 22 weeks.
Right.
Forever.
Here's hoping this 22 weeks goes well.
Travis, do you want to do a loving tribute?
Do
you have a happy and a sad for the week?
My Ecto Cooler is coming back. That makes me very excited.
Is that like a high C drink?
Yeah, pretty much.
It is the Ghostbusters high C drink that used to sport Slimer on the back.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Now all they need to do is bring back the Ninja Turtle cream pies. It'll be on like Donkey Kong.
Yogurt Blast Pop Tart, baby.
Mike, can I do my blues prayer?
Yes.
Dear Satan. I've come to ask for your help tonight, because obviously God has shunned us. As you well know, none of these people fucking deserve it. But I would like to actually enjoy another couple of weeks of hockey. So, come on.
Yeah, I don't want to be blacked out on this NBC app. I need to get at least one more series in.
Whatever the Blackhawks offered you years ago, it's probably run dry by now. So just take a look and see what you could eat. And look at the Blues.
Napier will double it.
I'm double all of their weights. At least.
Do you want to give a shout out to any other deities that might be able to help?
Shout out to the goat god, whatever demon darkness you can do. Thank you. And on my way home, I will slit the throat of a goat over a copper bowl in remembrance to you.
Shalom.
Amen.
Amen. Wait, what did the Satanists say? Is it also amen?
Praise Lemmy.
Praise Lemmy. Praise Lemmy.
I think they say red rum 3 times. Red rum, red rum, red rum.
Candyman. Candyman.
Fuck yeah, Dio.
Is that it?
That's it. Unless Travis has something.
Happy World Penguin Day, everybody.
Oh, yeah, and happy Earth Day.
Yeah.
World Penguin.
That was Friday, I think.
What a jerk.
Satan, take the wheel.
Walk through the valley soon. You shall talk with the spirit. Talk with the spirit soon. Even Jesus himself shall be a leader. And you can rag, mama, rag. You can't help it if it's not your bag. Down in the St. Louis Cemetery, God knows
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
We can be heard live Monday nights, 9-8 Central on strangelabel.com. You can hear all of our wonderful back episodes on WFODix.com, as well as some featured bits that have their own pages. We can be followed on Twitter at WFODShow. That's the show page. You can follow Mike at WFODix. I can be found at ProduceTravis. And, of course, Drunk is at DrunkardSTL. Napier is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, he's not on Twitter.
Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/WFODix.
I think Napier's an admin of that page. Maybe you can get a hold of Napier on there.
He always pretends.
Oh, no, Napier doesn't even like the Facebook page, Travis.
You want to see all of the witty things that are posted? Invite your friends, though. Like our Facebook page and invite your friends to like our Facebook page. Because if they see some of our wonderful posts, they are sure to listen to our show. You can call us live, or if you're feeling lonely at any given time of the week, Leave us a voicemail, 636-487-HAND. That is 636-487-4263. You can also email the show, WFODshow@gmail.com, if you'd like to leave us some musings, some poetry. I know Napier likes dick pics. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.